Welcome to the Iowa Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. One of two, count them, two podcasts for you today. This will be a relatively quick one, assuming, you know, we don't ramble on too long about Matt Moore.
That doesn't sound like us at all.
That doesn't sound like us. Matt Moore, how's it going? We had a trade last night.
Kind of. We kind of had a trade
last night. No, we absolutely had, we had two, in fact.
Technically, we had two trades.
No, I don't know what the kind of mean. I mean, there were six players exchanged in one deal.
Well, six kind of players.
No, six players.
All right, Patrick Patterson's a player. I'll give you that.
Thomas Robinson's a player. This is. We're gonna argue about this.
I know we're gonna argue. I'm on 3 hours sleep, so this should be fun. So hear me out on this.
Hold on. This is gonna. We planned for like 20 to 30 minutes. This is gonna be 45 minutes of me trying to convince you Thomas Robinson's good.
Well, no, it's okay. I'm going nuts today because everyone's like, there's like 3 arguments I'm hearing. He was a number 5 overall pick, and I'm like, I don't care. I care about that before the draft. I care about having if they had traded Patrick Patterson, Tony Douglas, and whoever else they Cole Aldrich for a number 5 pick in this upcoming draft somehow before the lottery, I would feel great about it. And it's this is very specific. I'm getting people saying, you can't say he's a bust. I'm not saying Thomas Robinson's a bust. I'm not saying that. I think Thomas Robinson can improve. I think Thomas Robinson can be good. I think Thomas. I'm the guy that's always like, "Hey, these like big men's improve. Like, let's not sell on him yet. Like, let's give him time. Like, I'm hopeful for young people. I have hope for the youth of our country. You can't tell me he hasn't been bad in Sacramento. And I know that there's a bad organization, but there are horrible organizations. DeMarcus Cousins is still good.
This is, but DeMarcus Cousins gets minutes. You can't expect a rookie to come in for 15 disjointed minutes a game and set the league on fire.
But we see it all the time. We see it all the time.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do. We see Andre Drummond gets less than 20 minutes. He looks pretty good.
I think there's a little bit of a difference there. Andre Drummond has a coach.
So for you, it's just the Kings are horrible, the organization is messed up, the coach is terrible, the team's bad, and that's the only reason that Robinson is... Like, you're convinced that not just Robinson could be good. You're convinced he is good, and all these things hide that fact.
I'm convinced that if Thomas Robinson gets decent playing time over the next week, which might be tricky because, you know, they are a playoff team and bringing in a new guy, but they also have a big hole at power forward now. I think if he gets decent playing time with a good team, a week from now, it's going to look like a great trade. Like, not just, oh, he'll develop down the line, like, a week.
That's really strong for a guy with a 10.8 PER. I'm not saying it won't happen, and maybe you'll be right. I'm just saying, I don't understand how you can think that. Where are you getting that from?
Because he's good? Because he can rebound.
What has shown you that?
Well, he can rebound, for one.
Okay.
He can rebound. He's athletic. You and I discussed this last night, but he is athletic. Like, the guy can... I don't know where this idea that Thomas Robinson isn't an athlete came from.
I think here's the translation, because I was looking over my notes from the draft. This is what one scout told me last year. He's got a lot of athleticism, despite the fact that he's not that long and he's not that tall. He's got a lot of athleticism in terms of just his overall athletic ability. You're right that he can't jump. His game is not necessarily centered around that. His game is centered very much, it's like, he's built a little bit like a more athletic, less problematic Jarrett Sullinger in the way that he plays. He's got great footwork. That was my thing with him when I was so high on the draft. Kid's got great footwork.
Right, you got a guy that's athletic with great footwork, and now you're putting him in a wide open offense in which he's going to have to just, I don't know, cut to the basket and wreck the rim, which he'll do on offense. He's got a decent jumper. He doesn't need to stretch it out to 3-point range. He just has to, you know, hit the occasional pick and pop and then just roll to the basket. And he's got James Harden setting him up. Who are they? They're not going to gravitate and go, oh, it's the 5th pick in the draft, I better go guard that guy. They're going to see James Harden sidestepping all over the place like he's Gregory Hines, and then that's going to leave so many lanes open for guys like Thomas Robinson.
Plus points for you for the Gregory Hines reference.
Hey, I love me some tap dancing. I'm just saying, like, I find
it's like I don't want to argue against Thomas Robinson. Again, I advocated for him being the number 2 pick for most of the year last year.
I'd much rather have Thomas Robinson than Patrick Patterson.
I'm also really confused. Why has no one realized Patrick Patterson's been really good this year? Like,
he has been good. I'd still rather have Thomas Robinson.
Okay. Okay.
That team has enough guys to stretch the floor.
And that I get. I guess I, from that perspective, I understand it in terms of, okay, we need a rebounder. We need a real power forward. We don't need a stretch four. And we use Patrick Patterson. He's evolved into a stretch four. I personally am a little upset because I'm like, they kind of geared Patterson to do that. Like, they advocated for him to lose weight and become that. But that's fine.
And here's the thing. The fact that he's the fifth pick matters because they're getting him halfway into his first year of his four-year contract. Like, it's not like, oh, he was the fifth pick 2 years ago. He was the fifth pick 8 months ago. That does matter. You get him so early into his contract. You get him so integrated early into his career. I just think that that's such a win for them.
So, if Memphis had traded Shane to beat 3 months in, it would have been, like, oh, they got a number two pick?
Depends on where they're trading him to.
Okay.
I mean, if they had traded him to the Thunder...
Here's where the entire thing kind of came from in terms of everyone going nuts on me is I wasn't ever saying the deal was bad because I think it's fine because I think, like, it's fine. It was just really confusing to me because they gave up a whole lot.
I don't think they gave up that much. What did they give up?
Look, Tony Douglas played significant minutes this year, and you and I were talking about how well he's played. Now, Patrick Beverley did take his minutes recently, and everyone's Rockets fans were all over me about that.
Seems problematic.
No, but we've seen this before, right? Where guys have a good year, they go through a lull, they lose a rotation minutes for a while, and then they end up getting it back. And overall, you're like, oh, they had a good year. They had a little spot in the middle. Like, I don't think it's insane to think that Douglas can, like, Douglas did it. He really impressed me. He played well.
Yeah, he's played well this year. I still, like, he is still shooting 39%.
Right. My big thing is I really liked what Patterson brought. And they gave up, and they wound up giving up Marcus Morris in that separate deal to the Suns for the second round pick.
That I'm fine with. I don't know.
I'm not big on Morris either. I'm with you on not being big on Morris. I'm looking at the entire thing, and I'm like, okay, they gave up all this. Even if it's not that much, they gave up quite a bit for a guy that has shown very little in terms of production and ability. And it's not that he can't do it. It just seems really weird because it's like if you know, it's one where if you could trade for Perry Jones for like, I'm trying to think. You trade Perry Jones for like Marcus Morris and Tony Douglas and Cole Aldrich, that's a great deal. Like, to me, that's a great deal.
Why? Why is that one better?
Because Jones, I feel like, Jones has shown he can play a little bit.
He has a 4.6 PR.
I'm telling you, talk to Royce.
Wait, no. I don't see how you could say...
No, that's fair. That's fair.
I mean, he's been worse than Thomas Robinson, but that would be a good deal to just sub in Morris instead of Patterson.
That's fair. You won that round. That's fair. I wasn't aware of his PR was that bad.
That's the thing. I just
don't know. I don't know where you're getting Thomas Robinson from. I don't know what you're seeing in him when you're watching the Kings.
He's athletic and he attacks the glass. And the Rockets are a bad offensive rebounding team. He's a very good offensive rebounder.
And part of it is also, it's like, they've got problems defensively. And, man, like, he can't guard out to range.
Oh, no.
And he's undersized.
I think he'll be fine defensively. I don't know that it...
I'm gonna call you on, because that was a huge concern for pretty much everybody. Like, every single scout or analyst. Don't want to go to the scout to talk to, it's fine. Every analyst, because doesn't have great, like, his hips don't move very well laterally. Like, he doesn't have great lateral speed.
What do you think I mean when I say I think he'll be fine defensively?
I don't know. Not a problem, I guess, would be the answer. For a team that has huge defensive issues.
Right, you don't have to be good to be
fine.
Scheme's
not covering up for him there.
I mean, I think you're overanalyzing the position of a team that just got thrown together a few months ago.
Yeah.
And is surprisingly successful so far this year.
Okay.
And like, oh, the scheme doesn't fit. Like, how are they going to make up for this? They don't even know how it's working now. It's just working. So they're shaping their roster towards where they want to be. And if they turn, you know, Lin and Ashik for Dwight Howard or whatever they try to do this offseason, if you put him next to Dwight Howard, that's pretty impressive.
It's really weird too because I'm usually like the biggest. I'm one of the bigger Morey guys on the web. Like I for a while I just like constantly. I wrote a blog post after one of the trades he made that was just simply titled "Daryl Morey Runs the Game," and that's all I said in the post was "Daryl Morey Runs the Game" and linked to the trade. That was it. I mean, I love his work. It's just been odd to me because again, all I was saying was this is kind of an odd trade, and I'm not like. I guess it's not a problem because of all the reasons you listed. Like, they don't really have to win now. They've got, you know, they're clearing cap space, which is something everybody talked about. I'm kind of like, look, if they don't get Dwight Howard and they don't get Josh Smith, what are they going to do with that cap space?
They'll probably acquire somebody in a trade, I would imagine. I mean, that's typically what you do. If you can't sign with your cap space, you usually trade with it.
Or you oversign people.
Yeah, technically, but when has Daryl Morey done that? He's had cap space for a while.
Yeah.
He had cap space with, you know, trying to get Chris Bosh.
Is Thomas Robinson going to be, Zach? I want to know how good he's going to be.
I think he's...
In a week?
I don't know. I think he can be an average player in a week.
Okay. And in a year, is he going to be... Are we talking like All-Star?
No. When is this? Like, why do you make that jump?
Because you're so strong on him. I'm trying to figure out...
Exactly. I'm so strong that he's not terrible.
With a quality starting four.
Right. I think he'll be a quality starting four.
Okay.
Who fits a need for them.
I'm trying to think of like a quality starting four in the league to compare him to. To find like a bracket for tiers. If we're trying to talk about the kind of player. Not qualitatively, but quantitatively. We're looking at quality of a power four that's just like a good quality starting four. Which I think. Will he be better than Glenn Davis?
Next year, no. In a couple years, yes. Absolutely.
Okay, absolutely. Okay, yeah. That's strong, but okay.
Well, Glenn Davis isn't that good, so.
No, I don't. I agree. I'm just surprised at your conviction about this is why I'm surprised. Because I'm kind of like, well, he could be good. That's possible. That's very possible. I'm kind of very much like.
I'm
open to possibilities, and you're like, he will be good in a week. He will be good in a year. He will absolutely be better than Glenn Davis. And I'm kind of surprised at that.
I mean, I'm surprised at the fact that you're like, 51 games, he's shown us nothing. Why would you trade for him? That's the feedback I'm getting from you, which doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's a guy that's part of it is also
especially when you're trying to sell me on crappy role players all the time. Why you would be against him?
If he was 18, I'd feel a lot better about it too. You know, he's 21 going 22.
He might as well retire then.
Well, that's a valid point. When we talk about like we know that there's the curve there. Like there's a reason GMs always want him that young, right? To be able to mold him.
You can't mold a guy at 21, 22. What the hell? What's Damian Lillard going to do?
You can't. Well, that's one of the concerns.
I don't know. I mean, the idea that if you get a guy at 21 or later, you should be concerned about molding him. You're a crappy organization if you don't think you can develop a 21-year-old.
Like, as much as you're like, he's athletic, he's not like a super freak athletically. He's not one of those... I mean, he's not one of those like mega. Like, that wasn't the description. Even if you think he's athletic, it wasn't one of the like the big descriptions of him. It wasn't like, man, he's super long and can jump out of the gym and all these things. He's not like a raw player. He was drafted based upon skill set.
Right. I mean, I will take a guy with a skill set over a raw player almost every time.
Right? It's like skill set's supposed to produce immediately, but have a lower upside. You're saying that a guy that was drafted on skill set with a lower upside who hasn't produced immediately.
I'm saying he just played for an Acme NBA team that gave him 15 minutes a night in a system that isn't a system with guards who aren't guards for a coach who doesn't understand his rotations right now in an organization that has no direction and absolutely nothing moving.
Is you're just living with how the Kings have been running.
It has nothing. It has if this was another team doing this, it has nothing to do with the Maloofs. It has everything to do with what we've seen from this team this year. Yeah. There is no direction. There is no plan. There's no system.
Can all the Kings players thrive if they're outside of not all, but can the good players? Can the higher like the top eight players for Sacramento thrive if they were removed from there?
I think the majority of them would. I think you would see. I mean, depending on where they go, but I think Cousins, the next team he's on, is gonna really benefit from him. I think Jason Thompson could really contribute to. A contender. I think that Tyreke Evans is definitely salvageable. Isaiah Thomas. I don't know that Isaiah Thomas will get that much better, but he's definitely a guard you would employ, and he could help you. I think Jimmer Fredette could really be a weapon for a team. I mean, I think there are a lot of those young guys on that team could benefit from having some direction. I mean,
I've been damaged by Twitter because like I'm just like so terrified that Thomas Robinson's gonna drop like a 20-20 next week and I'm just gonna be like, oh god, I look like such an idiot.
But that's the thing. One game wouldn't matter, you know? Right. Like you just need to see improvement. Like not right.
And trust me, if Robinson averages like 8 minutes and one rebound and looks horrible for the Rockets, I'm not gonna be like, oh god, he's done. Like we'll give it a couple of years. That's fine. I mean, because you could be right. Because I mean, I've talked about this with the Wizards, where I really think that they've hampered all of their players they've drafted. I think that they've hampered Serafin, they've hampered Wall, they've hampered.
You put Thomas Robinson on the Wizards 2 years ago. Let's just pretend we have this other dimension where we can do that. Yeah. I would feel the exact same way. I'd be like, what the hell are they doing? They're giving 15 minutes a night. There's no way he can prosper in that situation. I would feel the exact same way.
Right. And Robinson did have that amazing dunk this season, which is good.
I think it was it preseason? I know he dunked on Dwight Howard at one point, but I think that was preseason.
So, I mean, we'll say you make good points. I was just kind of surprised at the conviction of everybody in terms of – and I do want to make this very clear because everyone wants to make this into, like, someone had to win the trade. I am not in any way saying the Kings won this trade because they did not. It was another horrible move by a horrible team with horrible owners to shed money. It sucks for Patrick Patterson. It sucks for Patrick Patterson.
Yeah, hopefully they can move him in the offseason or something.
They better. I'm going to be so pissed off because they have to start Jason Thompson because he's a better player right now. They need to trade Jason Thompson.
Yeah.
Like
Jason Thompson is one of those guys, I've said it for years. Like, I would love to see him on like the Mavericks or the Spurs. Like, I just think he's a really good third big man to have.
Thomas Robinson, 19.2 turnover rate.
Yeah, I mean, 15.9 minutes on a crap team. Like, that's the thing. If he was getting Dion Waiters minutes and he was still putting up this production, I would feel a lot worse about him. But he's just not used.
He is 11-11 for 36. Like, I glanced at the numbers last night. I probably should have looked at them better. That's pretty good. 11-11 is pretty good, even at 42% for big. That's 11-11 still pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, 42% is not great, but he's also being played behind guys who are shooting worse than him. Inside, like they're, I think the three guys that you would probably, because they go small a lot with a small forward at the four, and those guys are all shooting, you know, 40-41%.
Right.
I'm not saying Thomas Robinson's going to be an all-star. I just think like that's a great move for the Rockets because you've got a young guy who hasn't been completely, you know, just downtrodden by a horrible situation. You get to build him. And I really think that system of how wide open everything is and how they move the ball, I think that that's going to be it's just going to be a field day for him attacking the rim.
See, and I worry about it because I've seen too often teams with that, we've seen historically teams with fast pace, they struggle rebounding. That's a generalization.
But they're also they're the third best defensive rebounding team in the league. A lot of that's a Sheik, but he's a very good defensive rebounder, and that's where I think that he can make a little noise. You know, a Sheik, this might even actually help a Sheik, because if they realize they have to keep a body on Robinson, where they didn't have to do that with Patterson or Morris, that could open up things for a Sheik. You might see his rebounding numbers improve.
Yeah, because I've seen where playing next to a good rebounder helps the other good rebounder. Amir Johnson are kind of like that, where they were both helped by the other one, because you couldn't put two guys on one rebounder, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not saying they're going to be this, but you look at Kevin Love and Nikola Pekovic last year. Peck was the best offensive rebounder in the league because they were dealing with Love all the time, you know? And you can't rebound with one guy against Peck. And I don't think you can rebound with one guy against a Sheik. Like, he's just too strong, he's too big, he's too good on the boards. And I think there's going to be either Robinson's going to benefit from rebounding next to him, or Ashik is going to benefit. Or maybe they both will, I don't know.
A lot of the Draft Express reports also list him as very athletic, so I think I just may have gotten some bad information on that.
Maybe he's not a good
judge of athleticism also, because, like, the way he's used at Kansas doesn't really, how do I put this, they don't focus towards athleticism.
No.
Like, Self is a skill coach.
It's possible he's not an athletic defender. I mean, we've seen that a lot with mostly guards, but you see that where a guy is incredibly athletic on offense but doesn't know how to translate that to defense. That could be a valid concern. But on offense, I think he can be just rolling to the basket, attacking the rim, attacking the boards. I think he is extremely athletic.
And I'll definitely say this. This could definitely be a case where I was so high on him and he underwhelmed so much that I tend to slant negatively because I want to be harsh on myself for the criticism. Like, I don't want to – when I say a player is good before the draft, and then they're bad, I don't want to be trying to hold out for them just because I thought they were good to try and make myself be right. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
So I tend to be like, there got like Andre Drummond, I thought was going to be terrible, and he's great. And so now I'm like, he's really great because I need to appreciate the fact that I was way off on him.
It took me a long time to accept Brook Lopez and Kirk Snyder. I thought Brook Lopez was going to be terrible, and he clearly wasn't right away, and he clearly isn't now. I thought Kirk Snyder was going to be an all-star, and he just missed it.
Just missed it.
He just missed it.
Draft Express's best case, worst case was Al Horford. Best case, worst case is Reggie Evans.
Wow, that is a worst case.
Well, I understand it why, because he showed until his last year at Kansas, because you know, I was in Kansas City for during his time there. He was the guy that had all of the strength and raw power and didn't have any sort of touch.
Yeah.
And then his last year, he kind of exploded in terms of footwork. And like, that was why I was so impressed with him. And also because of the strength. Because, I mean, the way that he absolutely bullied Perry Jones to bring him back up.
Yeah.
That was why I dropped Perry Jones into the teens, was because Thomas Robinson just dominated him.
Yeah.
Physically. And I was, you know, and so I was like, well, if he can do that at the pro level, he'll be really good. Yeah, he doesn't necessarily, you know, he's only 6'9", but if he can still, if he's got that raw strength and ability, and then it didn't really translate. But that's another thing where, as he adds strength and muscle as he gets older, you're turning me around on it. No, and that's the thing, is like, I was never, like, totally sold on this. I said, oh, wow, that's odd. They gave up quite a bit for Thomas Robinson. And everyone was like, Zark! The Rockets won this trade going away!
I do think they won the trade because I think Sacramento just is acting stupidly here.
Yeah.
So technically they won it. But I just think that Robinson is such a good prospect at such an early stage in his career that Patrick Patterson is a nice contributing player, and he can be a legit starting power forward in this league, you know, in stretch systems. But Patrick Patterson isn't so good to where I'd be like, oh, no, I'm not taking that chance. That's my point, and I just, I don't know. I think that if Robinson is only slightly better a year from now getting regular minutes, I'll clearly feel much worse about this whole situation. And the fact that he's not long is troublesome, but Ashik is so big. As long as you put those guys next to a big center, I think it works.
I'm so depressed for Patrick Patterson. They're not gonna make any more moves. And I'm just, he's worked really, because I was down on him his first year. I was like, wow, he's not the player I thought he was. And he really busted his ass to make himself into a quality NBA player.
Yeah.
And earned time on this team, and they were having success, and he was hitting threes, and he's too pat for sure. And
I still love that.
And like, it's just, I want such good things for him to have worked so hard, and now he's gonna be stuck behind Jason Thompson on that mess of a team with the awful coach the bad coach who the below average coach is how I would put it. Smart.
I don't know that he's bad, but he doesn't fit that team.
And the god awful should have been fired 5 years ago GM, and the owners who really, really just need to go to somewhere where I am not forever. And it's just awful. I just can't believe how awful that was.
Also, I wouldn't be shocked if this, I mean, you know, people aren't convinced that Dwight Howard is going to leave LA, and maybe he's not. He's probably not. But if you're going to, if Dwight wants to go somewhere, you could do a lot worse than a chic Thomas Robinson package if you're LA. You know?
That's true.
You said last night that this looks like they're setting up for another move, and I completely agree there.
Yeah, that was my thing. That was really where it all started. It's like, oh, that's odd. Like, maybe they're making another move. And I mean, there's talk this morning. Like, they are very much in the race for Josh Smith this morning.
Yeah.
But that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, trade Terrence Jones, Delfino, whatever else you want to throw in there. And, you know, get Josh Smith, which gives them because here's a big deal, is like, a lot of it's making Harden happy, and Harden will be happy if you give him Josh Smith.
He'll be like, all right, for sure.
That's a veteran player who's produced before, who's played at an all-star level. Like, that's, we got a good guy.
For sure.
You know, he'd rather have that than them trade and get a rookie, you know?
So yeah, for sure.
Trade and get a high-quality rookie. What do you think of all the Josh Smith stuff?
I really thought he was going to Milwaukee yesterday.
By the way, I will go ahead and concede. Zach has convinced me this was a good trade for the Rockets. I will go ahead and concede.
I feel like I'm just going to isolate that soundbite, and it's not even going to be the podcast. I'm just going to loop that for 30 minutes. I really thought Josh Smith was going to Milwaukee.
I mean, it's still possible. It's interesting. The debate right now is whether or not they're going to send Ellis, because there's talk that Smith wants Ellis there, which makes so much sense.
Sure. Birds of a feather.
Once again, I'm just going to remind anyone listening, and I know GMs aren't listening to this, I just wish that, Pat, if you see the GMs on the street, tell them this. Don't ever let a player's considerations of personnel influence your decisions.
It rarely works out, right?
Don't ever do it.
That's the funny thing.
Never a good idea.
That's the funny thing about this league is that you have to do it to, you know, to placate the stars that you're trying to get or trying to keep. But at the same time, it always ruins your team. I mean, almost always.
I don't know that you have to, because there are guys. It's pretty much one where there are just so few all-star, top-tier. And what's really weird is the guys that aren't like that are like the top of the top of the top. That's what's kind of interesting, right?
Where, yeah, for sure.
Like, LeBron's clearly like that, and I get that. But, like, my two examples are Duncan and Durant. Kevin Durant, no matter what they do, Durant's going to be like, okay, like, whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
Like, Durant, I don't think Durant is – maybe when he's, like, 28, 29. Will be like, well, I don't really want to do that. I really think that we need him. Yeah. But if he does it, he's going to be like, you need to understand how this influences me on the floor.
I think you also see that he – not that other guys don't understand the game of basketball, but he kind of gets it from the team concept. And yeah. I think if he was going to go after a guy, it would make a lot more sense. It wouldn't be like Dwight Howard saying, get me Jason Richardson and Glenn Davis.
Right. But yeah, I just – Don't ever listen to those guys. I mean, I like the idea of Jennings. You know, Jennings. I like Berger's talked a bit about how if they do deal Ellis, they would wind up getting Redick from Orlando. And I really like a Brandon Jennings, JJ Redick, whoever at the three, because they probably trade Luke Richard and Bamute, Josh Smith, Larry Sanders lineup. I like that a lot.
Yeah, that's
fun. Or Jennings, Redick, Smith, Ilyasova, Sanders. Yeah. That team's going to lose in only like 6 games in the first round.
But it'll be a fun 6 games.
So, man, I was on radio this morning here in Denver, and they were asking me about, the guy said, isn't the NBA trade deadline just 26 teams rearranging deck chairs on 26 Titanics? And I was like, yeah, that's pretty accurate. I was like, you know, you have to love the league in order to get into a lot of this, because there's not a trade that's going to happen that's going to change even the conference finals.
Yeah.
The Rockets getting Josh Smith isn't going to put them in the conference finals. It's just not. They're not there. So yeah, I think there's some interesting stuff out there, though. I do think there is some interesting stuff. Just coming out right now, the Celtics are looking at Tyreke Evans.
Ooh, I like that. See, you put Tyreke Evans with someone like Doc Rivers, I just like that. I like that. If they're not selling on KG and Pierce, which clearly it looks like they're not. If you can go out and get Evans without disrupting that, you know, that core,
yep.
I think he could be a back to being, you know, a wrecking ball a year from now.
You know what they should do? They should trade Jason Thompson and Tyreke Evans for, like, the crap on the Celtics.
I mean, this couldn't be any more like the movie Major League, right?
No, it could not be any more like Major League.
I know people, I think Aaron Brewski from Pro Basketball Talk made that reference a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, maybe longer than that. But it really is Major League.
No, I want there to be a photo. I wish the team was good enough to make a run, because I want there to be a cardboard cutout of Gavin with pasties on his nipples.
Oh, it's got to be George.
George, yeah.
It's got to be George. George with the crazy hair and the 5 a.m. shadow.
Yeah, and we'll make it a face that like Mel Gibson looks like in the South Park with a crazy smile. Yeah, that's what it needs to be. But unfortunately, it will not be, because they're just not that good. And it's kind of interesting, because with so many Kings players, I'm like, yeah, I'd really like to see Isaiah Thomas somewhere else. Like,
yeah.
Oh man, look how good Jason Thompson could be somewhere else.
You know? I would just like to see those guys with a plan.
Yeah.
I'd like to see those guys on a team with a plan, which is why I'm excited about Thomas Robinson on a team like Houston, because they clearly have a plan, whether it's going to work or not. That remains to be seen. But it's working so far, and there is a strategy.
Never mind for that. Jason Jones, the Sacramento Bee, just reported Tyreek Evans won't be dealt today, according to a person familiar with the situation.
Well,
let's hold on to him, because that makes sense.
Well, there goes that idea.
They're such idiots. They're so bad at running an NBA team. You're bad at being NBA.
You are bad at being NBA.
Real quick from last night, any takeaways? Big takeaways?
Peck was, I mean, he played LaVoy Allen and Spencer Hawes, but Peck was awesome. Peck was like just LaVoy. Was dominant last night. He had 27 and 18, a couple of blocks, went to the free throw line, I don't know, 15, 16 times. Some of the worst officiating I've ever seen.
It's been so bad this year.
And you know me, I am not a guy that complains about officials, but it has been really bad this year. And last night, first half, Sixers and Wolves zoomed through it. I think they're only, I don't know, they're maybe only 12 to 15 fouls called in the first half. It really, really went by fast. There was a good flow to the game. And then third quarter on, especially the fourth quarter, there were 38 combined free throws. 23 fouls called, and it was all crap. I mean, you could be physical inside, but you couldn't be physical on the perimeter. There was no flow to it. It really screwed up. Kyrie Irving went nuts last night in the fourth. Granted, against the worst defensive backcourt in the league, but still, 20 points in a quarter is 20 points in a quarter. And the Lakers, the Lake Show.
That's a big win for them.
That is a big win.
It was an emotional night. We'll see if they can carry it. But, you know, Dwight looked better than he has.
Yeah, Dwight looked great. The Nash-Kobe combination was fantastic. That was a big night.
Gotta love it, because today it's this team's coming together. The players are bonding. And when things are bad, it was D'Antoni's the problem.
Right. they're bonding through their hatred for D'Antoni, I'm sure.
Memphis-Toronto was entertaining. The Raps made a late run to tie it, and the Grizzlies.
You had a fun time during that game, right?
Yeah, I'm really torn on it. I honestly am torn on it, because I really like Rudy Gay as a person. I like Rudy Gay as a player. His comments were really unnecessary after the trade. You know, I understand he was mad about being traded, which is kind of ridiculous, because he had to have seen it coming for months. But he was taking shots at players, and then he talked about how, like, Zach Randolph texted him, and he was like, "No, man, that's not what I said." And it's like, that is what you said. Like,
that's exactly what you said.
You know, their biggest thing was about the report about how he didn't like the locker room because Z-Bo and Tony Allen were, quote, bullying people, which, if you've been in the locker room, like, those guys are assertive, but you need discipline.
Yeah.
Like, you need, and it's okay if it's those two guys aren't exactly the most disciplined on the court. Like, you want there to be some sort of pecking order.
Right.
It just needs to be. Really great performance by Memphis defensively. They just, their rotation's late. I mean, the Raptors announcers were just in awe, because the Raptors were doing their, we're going to run, and they were trying to run, like, quick offense. Like, they play pretty fast. So they were trying to run quick sets out of transition, and the Grizzlies were just all over it. They were making rotate. And it was one where you could tell the Raptors just don't play many teams with that kind of effort a lot, because they would make the extra pass and be like, "What, you're guarding me? Like, you're supposed to quit after the second rotation."
Yeah.
And Mike Conley's like, "Nope. I'm here. Let's go. Keep passing. I'm fine." Rudy Gay, he had 5 turnovers listed for the game. I want to go back and watch the video, because I swear to God he had 5 in the final 5 minutes.
Really?
Yes. I swear to God. It was every possession he got, they just worked him. And it was, there was no joy in Raptorville. Mighty Rudy turns out is Rudy.
The Bucks have wasted 2 straight really good games by Brandon Jennings.
God, that game.
He was really good.
He was, man, the late, he made 2 moves late where I was like, that's why he's going to get a max contract. like if I was his client, if I was his agent, I would gift that, and that's all I would send for negotiations. It's just gift those 2 plays and play them over and over and over again. But what about his inefficiency? This move, I would just do that over and over.
Yeah. MKG.
Oh, God. Oh, the dunk.
This is what I can't stand. Is that you get wowed by that dunk. You know, Skeets, I think Jay Skeets had the video, or at least tweeted out the video, and then everyone reacted, and people are like, "Well, they didn't get the win." Go do something to yourself that I can't say on this podcast, because that's not what we're talking about. We're not like, "Oh, that changed the game," or "It's You're just celebrating that one moment, which is fine, which is awesome. That was an incredible dunk. He murdered Greg Monroe. Yes, Monroe scored on the next possession against horrific defense by Bismack Biyombo.
Greg Monroe's a good guy. It's good that Monroe challenged it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's, I mean, maybe challenge it a little better next time, but yeah, the fact that he challenged it was great. And I just can't stand the clarifications, the constant clarification of, well, this happened, though. Go die. Just go die.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's the thing, I mean, it's the whole about the, you know me, I hate the whole results-oriented, you know, society where we don't focus on the process, we focus on the result, and it's, yeah. Well, they lost, and so that is irrelevant to the discussion here. We're talking about an awesome play.
If the Warriors had lost that game where Harrison Barnes detonated Pekovic, if you had said, oh my god, the dunk was incredible, and I said, yeah, but they lost the game, you should slap me.
But here's the other thing. This is what I like about the NBA regular season. It's what everyone else hates, but this is why I like it. It's irrelevant. It doesn't matter the Pistons won. They're not making the playoffs.
Exactly.
Like, that doesn't help them at all. It wasn't a big win for them.
Exactly.
You know? They beat a bad, terrible, awful, no-good team on a back-to-back. Like,
yeah.
You know? And again, I say, the best... Alonzo Mourning says this. If you want to be a great shot blocker, you have to get dunked on. There's no way around it.
Oh, yeah.
You don't get to just... Unless you're Larry Sanders, because he just has incredible control of angles.
Because he apparently just cannot be dunked on for some reason, even though he challenges everything.
Four blocks and seven in his first 7 minutes last night.
Jesus.
I'd be breaking the bank to get him, because I think the Bucks are just in such deal mode. Like, I would try and wow them with something and be like, I would offer them, you know what, if I was Atlanta, I might send, like, Josh Smith and a first-round pick for Larry Sanders. That's how much I like Larry Sanders.
Let's pretend he's an unrestricted free agent. Would you give him DeAndre Jordan money?
Yeah, I give him DeAndre Jordan.
Would you give him more than that?
No, just because it's only 1 year. Oh, it's 50 games, which apparently we can't judge anything from. So,
that's not what I said, but okay.
I know. But that's what I would use as the explanation for why.
So yeah.
I think you could work him down to get a more reasonable deal. So I would, but I'd definitely give DJ money.
Yeah, I think I'd give him. I think I'd give him Dadge money. I don't know that I'd go above that, but I could be tricked into it. I like shot blocking. I like good shot blocking.
Speaking of all, by the way, it's a good shot blocking. I'm going to have a big piece on him as soon as we get to the trade deadline, and I take like a 15-hour nap. I have a big thing on Larry Sanders. I sat down and did a video with him, a Lady Iguodala thing. It's going to be great. Really excited about it if I can remember what he said to me. It's just like, it was before the All-Star game, so to me it was like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But it should be really good. Speaking of all the blood ever, Indiana, New York.
Woo! Good effort.
So bad. I said the Pacers were making a statement, and Knicks fans, of course, got salty because it's February. I was just saying, like, look, Indiana, I've noticed, kind of does this, where they do get up for these Eastern Conference playoff games.
Yeah.
They've been together so long that they no longer are – they don't have the effort night to night. And maybe they should, but that's a reality in the NBA. But they do – man, they show up for things like this. I want this a playoff series. I want to see New York, Indiana second round.
And here's the thing about statement games. It could not be a statement game for the other team, but Indiana's still trying to make a statement.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't mean that the Knicks also were trying to make a statement and failed. That's not what that means. It just means, like, Indiana came out to say, hey, we're going to destroy you. We're a lot better than you. And the Knicks could have taken it seriously and failed, or they could have not taken it seriously and failed. But regardless, like, it can be a one-sided statement game. Almost every game with the Heat the last 2 years has been a one-sided statement game.
That's part of the thing is I feel everyone's like, oh, what about New York, Miami in the playoffs? Or those of us that are, you know, more sophisticated, like, oh, what about Indiana, Miami in the playoffs? Miami's really kind of above, like, they don't have a rivalry because they're kind of above everybody.
Right.
Like,
everyone thinks they're rivals with Miami.
Yeah, and Miami's kind of like, everyone hates us. What do you want?
Yeah.
We don't really, you know, we care about Boston. That's about it.
Right.
Like, Chicago fans, like, there is no Miami-Chicago rivalry. There's not.
They don't care.
They know they can beat them. But New York, Indiana, this second round series could be ugly and mean. I would really like to see it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll do another one here in
a couple hours.
Couple hours. Good stuff. You've convinced me on Thomas Robinson.
And now that we're going to do a second podcast, I'm sure that nothing's going to happen.
Probably. That'll probably be the case. We'll be sitting here talking more about Thomas Robinson.
Yep. Now we'll spend 30 minutes. So I'll just change my mind and try to convince you that he's not a good player anymore.
I will kill you.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.